Hello, everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously. But who's wearing some vintage iTag merch tonight?
Oh, man, I tell you. It's comfy.
That's
these
were,
man, it's like the texture. These are like the like the nice t-shirts. Yeah, like
it's a nice pre-tariff texture. Exactly. On there,
huh? Yeah, but every like third t-shirt you buy is just like that cardboard type material, and you're just like, why did I do this? Why did I buy this?
Mm-hmm. Not the iTag store.
No, sir.
Although Jeremy, this reminds me, Jeremy did put something in the Discord the other day that the store isn't working.
Oh.
I keep forgetting to look at that. I'll try to fix that before this episode comes out in a week and a half.
Interesting. Should I cut back on my spending a little bit? Are we going to have some hard times coming up?
It's possible. It's possible. Is this a good time to be buying a house I can't afford? Or
it's really the double whammy of tariffs and us forgetting that the store doesn't work. You know, these are... Oof.
We don't have an IT intern, which is the real problem.
That's the one role has been impossible to fill. 17 social media interns, zero IT interns.
But we're here. We're here. Mm-hmm. If someone wants to be our IT intern, it's a very easy job. You just got to check everything once a day. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, it's a hard job. Because it does break and we don't have any answers for you.
Ryan's off work for the next 2 months. Maybe he can do it.
Yeah.
You're here. Did you buy a house today? Is that what I heard?
Bought a house today.
Really?
Sure did.
Nice.
Oh, I hear that. Cracking the knuckles.
I heard it.
Bought a house. Unlike the last house we tried to buy, this one is great.
Okay.
And I'm very excited about it. I'll send you the link, but I'm not going to share a screen because one of those weirdos on YouTube
start scoping my house. Yeah. I'll open it on my screen. It'll be fine.
Yeah, perfect. I don't give you screen sharing capabilities.
See. Ooh, hello. Hello. Sorry. Hello, beautiful. Oh, hello.
Wait, isn't that nice?
Isn't this your old house?
Shut up.
Nice. I'm going to describe it such that somebody could locate this pretty easily with an AI tool.
Okay,
it
cool.
It has bricks on the front and sides.
Huh?
It has a patio in the back. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And is that a deck?
That's a deck. That's a big deck.
Ooh. What about the hot tub? Is that yours? You're going to keep that?
Uh-huh.
That comes with? Really?
Yeah. Yep,
you negotiate that? Ooh, what about that Mustang? Is that Mustang yours too?
The Mustang is not going to stay. That one's good. They're taking that one with them.
No, that's a shame.
It's negotiation, and we lost that one.
There's a driveway.
Yeah.
And and then they spent a lot of time looking at the landscaping. That bores me.
Yeah. Go inside.
Go inside. I like the burgundy room. I like this.
Yeah, we call it the murder room.
Obviously, I was going to call it the murder room as well, but then I thought, no, I'll be nice because we're on TV. Okay. And they have a radiator. That's good. Hopefully that's not how it actually heats the house.
Love radiators.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Chandelier. Ooh, there's fruit involved. There's a fruit
the
bowl.
We said, hey, the fruit's got to stay.
Right.
We said, we'll negotiate on some things, but that fruit, that's got to stay.
Yeah. In 45 days when we close, that fruit had better be sitting right there. Unmolested. Wood floors. There's a big dog. How many photos are on here exactly? Because I'm getting a little...
So fucking many. Because I'm waiting for you to get to one in particular.
Okay, bathroom.
You'll know when you get there.
There was it the big dog's ass? Or is that one? No?
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Okay, all right. The shelving, bathroom, back of the sports car. Okay.
Yeah, hallway. It's a lot to scroll through.
Yeah. They're showing off these little like things they put on the stairwell.
Those are cool, right?
To keep crumbs from falling down there, I guess. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sure.
Nice little touch. You're going way too slow. You
floors.
Go
I'm almost at the bottom. Okay. Green shelves. Right?
Yeah, that's a girl's closet, yeah.
Yeah,
girl's
okay. Room. Yeah. Another bathroom. How many bathrooms are in this house?
17.
That's so many.
Yeah.
Washer and dryer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does this come with it?
Uh-huh.
The sauna?
Uh-huh.
You get a sauna? Uh-huh. Interesting. Hang on.
There's a sauna in this.
There is a sauna. Hang on. There is a note on the chair of the sauna. Let's see if I can see what that note says. Enhance.
It says. Does it say leave?
Here, I have to open this image in a new tab. And then I have to enhance.
No, it says leave. That's a sign that says they're leaving it there. They're what? Leaving the sauna in the house.
Sauna?
Yeah. They're saying we're leaving it here. We're not taking it with us to the new house.
Sauna info. Leave. Oh, I see. Okay. That's like the sauna instructions.
Yeah.
Okay, in case you were too stupid to realize that you turn it on and then sit down.
You push on and then, yeah, and then get hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a sauna in this house.
Wow. Interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now it's weird because it's in the basement. As you can see in the second sauna picture, there's it's like the unfinished basement. And it's right across from the washer dryer. It's just like, you know, you go down there. There's a very nice sauna in the middle of this strange unfinished basement.
You know what? That's but what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. Okay. Come home from a hard day, right? You're toiling.
Yep.
Hard day of toiling.
At school, in the classroom, toiled. Yeah. I toiled so hard.
You tell Aaron, like, you walk in, Aaron tries to talk to you. You give her the hand. Nope. Nope. Mm-hmm. Not right now. Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. You drop your bag. You walk straight down the stairs.
Yep.
You slide open the sauna door. You sit down. You turn it on like 185 degrees. Right?
That feels like too much. I don't know.
You turn up high enough that the rivets in your jeans start to burn your giblets, right?
Yeah.
And you sit in there for about 45 minutes. You sweat that whole day out, right? Then you step out and you take all those clothes off because they're ruined now. You put those in the washer and dryer.
Yeah.
You put them right in the washer and dryer. Yep.
That's right.
And then you walk upstairs, nude.
Butt naked. Yeah.
And you say,
close your eyes, children. Daddy's going upstairs.
I'm ready to tell you about my day.
And sit my sweaty ass on the couch and begin.
Yeah, can you turn the air conditioning down a little bit? It is still very warm in here.
So signed contract just came back to us.
Woo!
We're all good. And it's good. So this one is out. Now this house is out of our price range.
Right. But you bought it.
We did buy it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we did offer $30,000 less than asking, and we thought this is not going to work.
Sure. Of course.
But we like the house a lot, so we'll just try it. And it turns out the guy and the older couple who they're selling it, they raised their children there, and they want to just make sure the people who are there appreciate the home, want to raise their kids there.
Wow.
Good family folks. And their daughter, who's now grown and has a child of her own, lives literally next door. So I think she's probably like, Dad, don't you stick me with some fucking assholes. And so we were like, this offer's never going to make it. And our realtor was like, well, I hate to ask this, but it might be a good idea for you to write a letter.
Oh.
And I said, write an emotional letter about convincing someone to let me have something that I want. I've been waiting my entire life to be asked this. And so I wrote a very nice 2-page letter. Aaron did some great edits. And we sent it off. And apparently the letter, they loved the letter. And they were like, wow, these are the people for this house.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, when we went to look at the house, the girls are with us, and Ivy rang the Ring doorbell, which then pinged their phone.
Right.
And they said Ivy was so cute that they had to let her have the house.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
And then
said, good, because So actually, 100,000 off.
Yeah. we're gonna lowball you a little further, actually. Did I mention both children have cancer? Both of them. It's
it's so crazy.
It's really horrible.
But the doctors think it might get better
if
they just have the right house.
Right.
I don't know. It's rare. Anyway, so I think that's going to happen.
Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Number two question. Does it have fiber internet?
Yeah, probably.
Ooh. Okay.
The question really is, does it get fiber internet inside the sauna, because that's where I'm going to be podcasting from. That's going to double as my podcasting booth.
And that answers my third question. So, okay, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine.
Where am I going to podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron's going to have the office upstairs, and I will be in the unfinished basement. I get to move back to a basement.
Fantastic. Dude.
To podcast. I'm very excited.
Brothers.
Very excited.
Reunited.
Yeah, the fiber internet question is going to be an important one. I'll look into that later. I'm sure it's fine. Okay. Yeah. Gosh, what else? What's going on in your life?
Not much.
Okay.
Not a whole lot.
All right. Well, boop, boop. There's my soundboard. Do you want to hear a ghost story today?
Yeah, let's ghost it up.
Where are my notes? Did I take notes? Here it is. Boop, 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 boop. Enhance. That's my enhanced sound. I'm not prepared for this podcast.
Interesting.
My screen's so dark. There we go. All right. I'm ready to rock. Let's do it.
It's booty time.
Thomas Hercules Hayes.
Oh. You cut to the core of me.
I thought you'd like that one. When I first looked up the name, it was just Thomas H. Hayes, and I didn't go looking for the middle name, and right. I'm so glad I kept researching a little bit more because I found it, and it's I knew that would sing to you. Thomas Hercules Hayes was born in 1837 in West Point, Kentucky. His father was a colonel. His name was Colonel William Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was Nancy. Thomas's early schooling was under a man named Robert Hewitt, who was, quote, one of the foremost instructors of his day.
Sure. Okay.
I don't know how that's assigned.
Yeah.
I like to think that's how my students refer to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the instructors of your day. Absolutely.
I would definitely, without question.
Right.
Thomas did well in school, and he planned to go to college. And in order to prepare him, he studied under a new teacher, General John L. Helm.
Mm.
It's the foremost instructor of your day. It can only take you so far. Want to go to grad school, you need a general. You need a general at the helm. His last name is Helm.
I get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, what kind of feats did old Hercules have to learn?
Well, there were 17 obstacles he had to overcome in order to get admitted to college. let's see. So during his study sessions with General Helm, Thomas falls for the general's daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You've seen Billy Madison.
Uh-huh.
You know how it works. Yeah, her name is Sarah, and before long, they are married.
Oh.
So Thomas goes on to become a lawyer.
Oh,
he's discussed.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if he was like just going to be done at that point. Like, oh, I'm just going to marry this girl, and then I don't need to continue going to school.
In the 19th century, being a lawyer was being done. You're just like, I'm a lawyer now. We've discussed that on this show before. There are almost no rules about how to become a lawyer at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a lawyer, and it's going fine. But then the Civil War starts.
Oh, less fine.
Yeah, less fine. You can probably guess which side he was on.
From rural Kentucky?
Rural Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. But he was educated. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Okay, it's fine.
He did a lot of cool things in war, like burning bridges.
Oh, that's very helpful.
Yeah, literally and metaphorically.
Right.
Yeah. Mostly around the Ohio River Valley. For a time, he commanded the Orphan Brigade, which is not as fun as it sounds.
No,
it's not a bunch of kids like carrying rocks and slings and just like, hey, Mister, come over here. Stop trying to take our slaves. It was just a group of it was like the largest infantry from Kentucky, I think.
Okay.
Which is, you know, whatever. So after the war, he's captured because he's a Confederate.
Right.
But he is paroled and he is allowed to return home.
Okay. If he promised not to continue fighting for the bad guys.
Are you going to do more sedition? No.
I promise I won't.
Let's see. He didn't go back into law, though. He decides to become a farmer.
That seems a little safer.
Yeah, I think so. He'll live out his time, plow on this land. In 1883, he buys a large plot of land southwest of Louisville. Later, he would enter politics. He would be elected for 2 terms as state senator.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact. He was part of the group of investors who built the Sloss Furnaces in Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, old Sloss Furnaces.
Old Sloss
Episode Furnaces. 3?
I think it was 2.
2 even? Wow.
It's up there. I think it was 2. And that's our boy. He made that shit show happen. that house of horrors. So that's pretty cool. Now, Thomas and Sarah had 3 daughters. Sarah died at some point.
Mm-hmm. History does not care
to do. Nope. Thomas remarries and he has 6 more daughters.
Ugh.
I think you got a lot of daughters. Dude's got 9 daughters.
9 daughters.
Mm-hmm. He's like a lot of daughters.
Desperate to find like a new wife with 9 sons or something like that. Like, we need to get
yeah.
Big old Brady Bunch.
That sounds like the best way to do it, I think. Mm-hmm. Add more kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Now these daughters need some schooling.
Well, I mean, do they need the foremost instructor of their day? Because he's probably dead.
He's probably died in the war. So the problem is the farm is really far from schools.
Mm-hmm.
So Thomas decides to open his own school for his daughters.
Makes sense.
He got 9 of them. That's actually a pretty solid class size. So he opens a 1-room schoolhouse, and he hires a woman named Lizzie Lee Harris as the teacher. There's no note about Lizzie Lee being the foremost instructor of her time, unfortunately.
She was the most present instructor on the farm that day.
Lizzie loved Walter Scott's Waverly novels a lot. That's her jam. So Walter Scott's a writer, and he's got these novels. It's like a series of novels that sort of, I don't know what this is, actually.
Right.
But I just, getting context clues.
Well, it's like at your school, there's all those people that are like Shakespeare doctors or whatever. Maybe this lady is
It's like that.
Yeah. It's like a Waverly studies doctor.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what Waverly. She told him.
Do you want to hear what Waverly, the novel, is about?
Yeah, why not?
Sounds Waverly, boring.
Waverly, but it sounds boring.
That's not going to be boring. This is Wikipedia, and the full title is Waverly, or 'Tis 60 Years Since. Would you like to hear more?
Yes, I would. Yeah, I would love to know that.
Let's see. Here's the player's plot. It is a time of the Jacobite uprising of 1745.
Mm-hmm.
A young English dreamer and soldier, Edward Waverly, is sent to Scotland. He journeys north from his aristocratic family home, Waverly Honor, in the south of England, first to the Scottish lowlands and the home of family friend Baron Bradwardine.
I was right.
No, it's not done. Yeah. There's more. And then to the highlands in the heart of the rebellion and its aftermath. There's a lot more here. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll leave that anyway for the reader.
So this woman who loved those books and was not notably the foremost instructor of her time. She loves books so much that she starts just calling the school Waverly School.
Okay. I mean, it's her school.
She just names it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, it's not really her school. I don't get to change Mary Baldwin's name.
Are you the only person there, though?
No, but I'm the tallest person there.
Well, so yeah.
By mass, I'm the most person there.
If you took a sign that said like Waverly College and you put it up as high as you could reach on the front of the school, what would happen?
It's Waverly College. So she calls it Waverly School. Thomas actually thinks this is a great name, way better than whatever dumb name he picked out. So he takes it one step further and he decides to rename the entire property Waverly Hill. So everything is going really great.
Right. For that book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great advertisement. I wonder if anyone calls their ancestral home like Apocalypse Park or something.
Right.
You know, that'd be nice. Nice tribute to me. And I mean, in some ways to you.
You're buying a new home, right? This new home.
Oh, that's true.
As far as I could tell on Realtor.com, is not currently named.
That's true. But I had my heart set on Murder Engine 2.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Aaron and I will have to talk about that one.
It could be a prequel too. Engine. You don't know. Yeah. I mean, it could be.
That's true.
Murder Engine reboot. I like that.
So yeah, everything's going great for him. But then in the early 1900s, this area of Kentucky receives a visitor. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's our old friend, Tuberculosis.
Oh, no. I was guessing Pope. I was wrong.
It's me, at a Pope.
Watch out. It tastes terrible.
Do you have any caves here? I've got the tuberculosis. This is overlap with Mammoth Cave and our Mammoth Cave story, coincidentally. His tuberculosis outbreak, it's huge around Louisville, thanks in no small part to the Ohio River, which is carrying this moist, infected, gross air. Is that how tuberculosis works? I don't understand it.
We used to not have to swim over this river, but then the bridge, somehow. Interesting.
We used to be way above the really diseased part of this air over the river, but now less so. Isn't that something? So the local hospital in Louisville is totally overrun. Now, luckily, there are actually plans in place already to build a bigger, better Louisville City Hospital. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Except the commissioners of the hospital decided they would make a provision that said, actually, for the new city hospital, the new one we're building, no tuberculosis people. No
one can come here. Okay.
No, thank you.
But that's like a big thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, it's a big thing. It's like a big sick thing.
Yeah.
And that's what hospitals are traditionally for.
It's kind of like if you're opening a restaurant, you don't want to start with like the really complicated dishes, right? You want to start with grilled cheese. You really want to like build up a following with grilled cheese. Yeah. And then a few months later, maybe we'll try pizza. But
yeah. And eventually you're doing like the steaks, you're doing the beurre blanc sauce, you're doing all that stuff.
Exactly. So anybody that isn't already dead of steak, Just wait a little while.
Just hold on a second.
Yeah.
We'll get there eventually. This is actually, no kidding, the plot of The Bear.
You know, I never watched it, but now I don't have to. That's great.
It's an Italian beef place that they then turn into like a Michelin star place that also still serves Italian beef. It's never explained how exactly this transition happens. They just kind of do it. And everyone's like, yeah, out of the window here, we're still serving Italian beef. But in the main part, it's real high end.
And this is a popular show on television.
It's good, man. It's the most stressful. Have you ever thought, I wonder if I could be, I want to be more stressed than I've ever been for 60 minutes?
I've not thought that before. No.
Okay. Well, have you ever thought, I want to be even more stressed than that for 90 minutes during the Thanksgiving episode?
None of this appeals to me.
Boy. Okay. All right. Well, if you ever get that feeling, this is a great show for you. Anyway. So they're not going to take tuberculosis patients in this new hospital, but it's not all bad news. The hospital does give the tuberculosis docs $25,000 to go build a hospital somewhere else.
Oh, okay. So like a shitty hospital. That's not a whole lot of, like, 25 grand.
It's not like big tuberculosis hospital money.
Right. So what year is this?
25,000. This is like 1900.
That would be $931,000.
That's it.
That's not much.
That's a bad hospital.
It's going to be a shitty wet hospital is what it's going to be
That's a field hospital. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be a cabin inside a cave.
We're going to spend all the leftover money on body bags.
So they're giving some money to go. So they say, you know, you can build it wherever you want. Just not, please don't do it in Louisville. We don't want tuberculosis here.
Build it anywhere you want. Downwind. Anywhere. Anywhere down there.
And if you could do it downriver also. We don't want the water to flow back this way. Blech. So they want to go out of town, but not too far out of town. Like if we want to, you know, tap into your resources, we want to have access to those. So go find a place. And it just so happens that Thomas Hercules Hayes had just recently passed away.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, no one. I know.
He's just out there in the middle of his field. No one on the podcast said anything. It's weird.
He's not the ghost.
Oh, shit.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, classic misdirection.
It's never the cool guy.
It's never the cool guy. It's never the Hercules. Yeah, okay. Hercules is going to be a ghost. He got all his business done. So he had recently died. So the board is like, well, why don't we just build it out on Thomas's land?
Because what's he going to do on it?
He's only got daughters, so who's going to inherit it? No one. It's just free land now.
Yeah, they're not going to put up a fight. Yeah.
No, of course not. It's not going to have a legal leg to stand on. So they do. I don't know what happened, but they end up buying. They're building the hospital.
They have $25,000 to throw around. I'm sure they gave each young lass like $5 or something.
Boy, you're a lucky young lady, aren't you?
Oh, and what's this behind your other ear? Oh!
Oh, I guess it's $5 and a tuppence.
Now go away.
So they build out there, and on August 31st, 1912, all the TB patients from the city hospital are officially moved to Waverly Hills. Now, the hospital is not built yet.
Oh, okay.
So they move them into tents.
I was going to say, yeah, it sounds like tent camping to me.
And the hospital finally opens in December of that year. Mm-hmm. So you've got all these people with tuberculosis out in tents in the wintertime.
Right.
So it's going pretty great.
Yeah, but I mean, they all have tuberculosis. So, like, what are you going to...
Yeah, that's true. It's not like, oh, you're going to spread it.
Yeah.
Plus, we're getting real good use out of those body bags. Mm-hmm. I told you we were going to want to stock up. Who's laughing now? So this hospital opens. They could comfortably treat up to 80 patients.
Okay. How many did they choose to treat?
I think 7. I don't know.
800.
A couple years later, a children's pavilion was added.
Oh. Just like a pavilion?
Yeah, just like a little play place.
Yeah.
Okay. For kids with TB.
You know how much kids with TB love to play outside, run around in circle.
You know how good they are at covering their mouth when they cough.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
The nice thing about kids with tuberculosis, though, is that they're so small. And you can fit way more kid beds in that footprint than adult beds.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even need a fence to the outside of the property. Just, you know, walk out there and pick them up at the end of the day and bring them back inside.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great business model.
Mm-hmm.
So this adds another 50 beds. And these were for sick children, of course. But they're also for the children who were not sick with tuberculosis, but whose parents were in the hospital for tuberculosis. So...
Okay.
So it's a tuberculosis hospital for people who have or want tuberculosis.
Yeah. Tuberculosis hospital for the sick and curious.
So people there's a lot of people dying here. By 1926, they need a bigger hospital because tuberculosis is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they build a 5-story building on the campus that can now house 400 patients.
Okay.
So really, they're really ratcheting it up here. Yeah. Now we got a ghost mill. That's what we call that. This hospital was called the Waverly Hills Sanatorium. It's going great. People are dying, but it's fine.
But, importantly, they are not being seen by healthy people in town.
That's right.
This is the point of the tuberculosis hospital. Yes. No one is, like, getting better at the tuberculosis hospital. It's, you go behind this brick wall so I don't have to see you have tuberculosis anymore. Yeah,
this was the genius of the tuberculosis cave.
Yeah.
You go in there, we're caving that section in next week, so you go over there right now. So, in 1943... streptomycin is invented, which cures tuberculosis.
Oh, which is great for people, bad for the tuberculosis hospital industry.
Bad for big tuberculosis. So the tuberculosis cases decrease pretty significantly right away, and they keep going down over the next decade or so. The hospital gets pretty sad and lonely. In June 1961, the remaining patients are sent away and Waverly Hills closes.
Ah.
I don't know where they went, but I bet it's not Louisville. 1 year later, Waverly Hills Sanatorium is reopened as Woodhaven. You know what? What do you think the next step in this business plan is?
I'm going to go with an even money bet with mental hospital.
Oh, so close. You're so close. Geriatric center.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Woodhaven Geriatric Center. Actually, so here's a quote about that space. It was a nursing home primarily treating aging patients with various stages of dementia.
Okay. All right.
And mobility limits, as well as the severely mentally handicapped.
Okay. I feel like I'm winning a few points on here.
You get points.
Not full points. You get points.
Yeah. But it was it was understaffed and overcrowded, which I'm sure you're shocked to hear. There were lots of reports of patient neglect.
Oh.
And they were shut down in 1980 by the state of Kentucky.
So how many years were they open then?
That was almost 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Lots of neglect. We're going to keep an eye on you for a couple decades. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. The state of Kentucky shuts you down for being inhumane. I don't know. These are not the Andy Beshear days. These are, I don't know. These are tough. And they still did it. In 1983, which is a great year for people coming into the world.
Right.
I think. Yeah. Probably the best year by some metrics.
It's a year. It was a year for people.
Yeah. Yeah. A best. And in that year, the building was bought by a developer named J. Clifford Todd, who decided to turn it into, would you like to guess again?
Oh.
Okay, so we got TB hospital, we got elderly home slash mental institution. We've seen this before. It's a pattern.
I'm going with the bed and breakfast.
Oh, so close. Prison.
Prison. Oh, of course prison.
Yeah, so there are two trajectories from that point. One is a more positive, one is negative. And you took the positive, and I love that about you. You dared to believe. He wants to turn it into a prison. The problem with this is the neighbors are like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Yeah. You may not do this. So that plan is dropped. And he's like, well, okay, so it's not going to be a prison. What if we make it into apartments instead?
I was going to go with like affordable housing, you know.
Yeah.
Apartments.
And that's great.
Yeah. I like this.
Housing crisis. That's great. So that's a new plan. But then they realized they didn't have the money for either of those things.
Oh, okay.
So, wah, wah. God, I think I got a button for that somewhere here. Let's see.
Hey!
First try.
No editing needed. I'm impressed.
Wow. I'm feeling it today. I got a house. It's flowing through me. So, in March 1996, Waverly Hills was purchased by a man named Robert... Did I write this right? Alberhasky.
Robert Alberhasky? Alberhasky. Is it Robert Al Raboski? Is that what you wrote down?
Oh my God, it is. It's Al Raboski with a very, very, very poorly planned out pseudonym. I don't want anyone to know I'm buying this mental institution in Kentucky. I could change my name. Yeah. Who could it be?
Robert. Robert what? Robert Al Raboski. Shit!
Damn it, son of a bitch. And he's got big plans for this place. I'm not even going to give you the chance to guess because you're not going to get it because you're a small thinker. This guy's a big thinker.
Right.
He wants to turn the whole complex into a giant, and I mean giant, chapel.
Okay. Okay.
That will also have a gift shop. And also have a theater.
Okay.
And also, on top of the chapel, sitting on top of it,
right,
will be a 150 foot tall by 150 feet wide.
Can I guess?
Yep.
Replica of Noah's Ark.
Oh, you're on the right track.
Oh, I thought I had it.
I wish that was right. No, that's more modern day Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, this is 96. No, he wants to do 150 foot by 150 foot statue of Christ the Redeemer.
Okay.
Which is even bigger than the one in Rio.
Hey.
So that's pretty good.
Everybody that was going to go on vacation to Rio de Janeiro, turn around the flights right now.
Head we're going to rural suburban Kentucky. Louisville. Here's a fun quote that I liked a lot. The plan to construct this religious icon fell through because donations to the project fell well short of expectations. So, I don't know. You probably haven't priced out this sort of thing before. But
I have not recently. No. Not since COVID.
He needed $4 million for the statue
and
another $8 million for the building.
Okay.
So, he needs $12 million.
Right. Rough numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. And after 1 year, he had raised $3,000.
Ah. So. But if he invests that, you know.
And give it about 700 years, we're about halfway there. So people are not buying into this vision because people are such small thinkers.
Right,
people,
yeah.
People like you. So then the property is purchased by a couple of private investors who open it up as a historical marker at some point, and also ghost tours, mainly ghost tours.
Okay, okay.
Because it will not surprise you to learn the sanatorium is haunted.
Makes sense.
I don't think it's bed and breakfast, but that would be, let's just double check.
You could probably stay there. I'd have, I mean, that's a large property.
Anything could be a bed and breakfast if you just pitch a tent and don't get caught. Is Waverly Hills Sanatorium a bed and breakfast? No, the Waverly Hills Sanatorium is not a bed and breakfast. All right, asked and answered, thanks, huh? AI. Anyway, so there are ghosts there. No one knows how many people died there. Some estimates say it was as many as 68,000 people.
Ugh.
However, the source does note it's probably actually more like 8,000 people. Okay. Not 68,000.
Yeah, that seems like a whole bunch.
Yeah. I mean, 8,000 is still a lot.
Sure.
68,000 feels like a,
well,
like a sizable town.
Tuberculosis is not Ebola. People aren't going in there and like coughing their lungs onto the table and then shuffling right out.
Right. You don't even, the logistics of that are impossible because, like, the turnover you'd have to have at those rooms
right.
to get, you know, those people are dying, sure, yeah. but to die in this hospital, yeah, that's a quick turnover. That's a, turn tables.
Logistical nightmare. That's, that was, yeah, that was the reason.
Now, we could have had 68,000.
Yeah.
Boy. Didn't have the space. The number of folks who died there includes two nurses who committed suicide on the premises.
Mm-hmm.
Also includes a man who was murdered inside the building while it was abandoned.
Mm, okay.
And another man who died when he and his dog were exploring the abandoned building and fell down an elevator shaft.
Oh, no. You definitely don't want to go down the elevator shafts.
Well, if there's an elevator, it's fine.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I use those all the time.
There was not.
No.
Yeah, there wasn't in this one. And the dog also died.
I pressed the button. I opened the door. How was I to know?
It's not my fault. So investigators have identified several active hauntings going on in this building.
Mm-hmm.
The man and his dog are there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the owners of the building has actually seen that pair of ghosts herself.
Oh, okay. Wait, the dog's not on the elevator shaft too?
Yeah, I said that, but you were making a joke, so you didn't.
Well, you said a man and his dog, but then it's
Jeremy. Can you play back the tape for us, please?
Yeah.
And then you make some joke. I don't know, it's a dumb joke.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and say now. Say a joke.
So, yeah. So
the dog also died.
What?
Oh, you heard that? Nice playback is crazy. Dog also died. Dog is also ghost.
What?
So the owner has seen those ghosts. What else? You can also hear the sounds of screams and unsettlingly, you can hear the sounds of coughing coming from the building when it's empty.
Yeah.
How long you think TB is a ghost?
Tuberculosis itself is a ghost?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say up until this current administration, it was very close to being a ghost. Now I think it's going to come roaring right back.
Can't wait. Faces are regularly seen in the windows from outside. On the fourth floor, there's a doctor in a white lab coat who you can find running into the operating room. I don't know what his story is, but living or dead, you do not want to see the doctor running into the operating room. Something bad is about to happen. People have seen a ghost chef in the kitchen and have smelled the aroma of baking bread wafting through the building.
Oh, that's very nice.
That's the best possible ghost scenario.
That's like a realtor move right there. That's what that
is.
Absolutely. That is a ghost trying to sell that property
to
some unsuspecting bumpkin.
You follow the smell. You follow the smell. You're like a cartoon character. Yep. Oh, no, elevator shaft. Boom. That's how it happens.
Welcome. Welcome, friend.
Good news is, on this side of the ethereal curtain, the bread is real. You can eat it. You can eat it now. It's only for ghosts. On the fifth floor, some people have seen the ghost of a woman running down the hall directly toward them, screaming with her wrists cut open and squirting blood.
Oh.
which is the opposite of the cool ghost with the bread. This is a psychopath who's bleeding from the wrist, screaming at you and running full speed.
We're going to go back down one floor.
one second.
Not feeling this one at all. Yeah. Which floor is David S. Pumpkins on? Is it on two? Is he on three?
Boy, that ghost is going to get real old real quick. There's also a number of shadow figures who haunt the building. And the most terrifying one is called the Creeper. He is a long, tall shadow figure that has been spotted climbing the walls and ceiling of the third floor.
Oh, okay. I'm into that.
Yeah. And perhaps the scariest type of ghost you will find at the hospital, we have not come across this yet, I don't think, in this whole podcast, is a changeling.
Oh, describe a changeling to me.
A changeling, well, traditionally, I don't think I've ever heard of a changeling ghost. Uh-huh. Traditionally, a changeling is a creature that can change its physical shape to look like anyone.
Oh, okay.
Right? So a doppelganger style, right? Right? We have had a doppelganger ghost.
Yes.
But I don't think that was a changeling ghost.
Okay.
So these changelings are ghosts that are in the old hospital, and multiple people have reported seeing identical versions of themselves.
Oh.
Turning corners and then running at them, which is pretty horrifying.
Yeah. It's risky, too. Very risky, because like you could be walking back out to, you know, see your family at the car, and they could be driving away. Because, like, you're already in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very risky. I think that's part of it. Yeah. That's bad. It's not good. It's not what you want. That's going to get a bad review of that place on Yelp. 1 star. Did not like. Family drove away with changeling.
Will not go back.
Ironically, am stuck here forever. Over on Reddit, there's a Redditor who wrote a whole post about this hospital. There's a lot on Reddit about this place, but one of the Redditors wrote, these are some quotes here. I have worked as a volunteer at the Waverly Hills Sanatorium, and I have been on many tours and investigations. I will start by saying this. It doesn't matter who you are or what your beliefs are. Things happen in that building that are not explainable. I have seen people get possessed, and I have had something attempt to take control of me as well.
Ooh.
I have heard voices with nobody around. I have smelled cigars when nobody was smoking. I have been pushed up against a wall, seen a doppelganger, watched inanimate objects move on their own. I'm going to link to this whole post in the show notes because it's terrifying.
Very scary, yeah.
Very scary. It goes on to detail a time when this person and their significant other went on a kind of their own ghost hunt through the building with a couple of friends. And some of the things that happened to them there. Here's one little preview. They did see the creeper shadow creature, scrabbling at them over the walls and on the floors. And they didn't like that.
Hmm.
So it's a fun read. So go check that out in the show notes. All right, where are we here? Oh, the other thing that happens at Waverly Hills Sanatorium is they also do a Halloween haunted house every October.
Oh, okay. So it's a lighthearted thing.
Yeah. Got to be very choosy about which floors you go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to dial that real haunting in just enough to, you know, make it all right.
If I'm a ghost, I take my vacation days that day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's true. I'm not sticking around for that shit.
Absolutely. Let the scabs have it for that.
Yeah.
Those few weeks. You know? It's fine. And that is the story of the Waverly Hills Sanatorium outside Louisville, Kentucky.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not as much Hercules as you want. I thought when I started researching it, I thought he was going to factor into this a whole lot more, and he did not. And I'd gone too far with his background. So I wasn't going back. Any questions?
No, I mean, it is kind of exciting that the entire tuberculosis treatment and housing industry can just sort of be destroyed with one invention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like medical science is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Or used to be. Now it's outlawed. Gives you a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Thank you all for listening. Is This a Ghost? Is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jennifer Jones, and Sam Murdoch. Fox and Quill Studio, they're in charge of our merch. Go find them on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. And they've got a finally that Necrodromicon design is about to be released. I got to go fix the store because the world needs a Necrodromicon. It's a really great design. It's a Necrodromicon from, I don't know, several episodes back, but it's done in a tarot card style.
It is exactly as I requested it. 2 AT.
I am a belly button.
So excited about it.
Got a belly button. Mariah knocked it out of the park. So go check that out. Hopefully by the time you hear this, that's ready. I'm going to work on the store. While I'm doing that, you, listen, don't get tuberculosis. If we learned anything from all these years of doing Is This a Ghost? If you get tuberculosis, you're going to be the one we talk about next week on Is This a Ghost?